Welcome to the Local Spotlight Show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I am Chris Lorton. I am your host and a special guest today. My, I would say old friend, but we're both the same age. So my good friend, Gary Wilson.
Long time friend.
Graduated high school together.
Yeah.
Yeah. We didn't go to grade school together, though.
No.
Because you grew up in Hamburg.
Yeah,
in Big Hamburg. Town Hamburg.
Yeah.
So, Gary, one thing we're going to get to, but we got some stuff to cover first, is later on in your life, all of a sudden you get into theater.
I did.
I had no idea you were a theater guy.
Well, there wasn't always a lot of opportunities for theater in Hamburg, but, you know.
No, or in Hardin.
Yeah.
Now there is.
We did do a Christmas pageant at Hamburg Grade School a couple times.
Oh, did
that,
you?
Yeah, that was
were
about
you
it.
The star of the show?
I think I was kind of a bad elf or something. It's been a long time.
So you're retired now.
I am.
You've been married a couple times.
I was married. I had three children. Ended up going through a divorce, and I am remarried.
Yeah.
And my wife now also has a daughter. So we, you know, between the two of us, we have four grown children. Also have three grandchildren.
How are those grandchildren? Because I don't have any.
They're a blast. They're a blast.
What's so good about them? What's so great? Everybody tells them this. Yeah. But I don't have any.
My daughter Michaela we got a 5-year-old grandson, and it's fun because you get to relive some of those really great moments of, you know, you remember those times of holding your own children,
mm-hmm.
and then you get to kind of relive that when you're with your grandchildren and watch them grow up and then you're
not working 24/7.
Yeah. and you know, the sleepless nights belongs to them now. And
yes.
and then about 2.5 years ago, she had identical twin girls, and that has been a blast.
Of course, I'm a twin.
Yes. Yeah.
But we weren't identical.
Right.
Yes.
But, it, you know, having two babies at the same time is...
Can you tell them apart?
No.
You can't?
No, I... But
what kind
I'll
of a
tell
grandpa
you what,
are you? I,
well,
you can't
my,
tell them apart.
My 5-year-old grandson will tell me in a minute which one's which.
I'll be
and,
darned.
You know, well, but we'll, you know, my wife Donna and I talk, you know, still... You know, threatening to put a little tattoo behind somebody's ear or something.
Yeah.
You know, but she will dress them with two bows or one bow or that sort of thing. But
okay.
You know, and they can kind of tell us now. But that's
they along really well.
At moments, yeah, they are. It's like any kids. They're very busy. You know, those girls want to do everything their big brother can do, and they're running and charging and wrestling and carrying on. And it's it's a lot of fun.
That's good. Now you're retired now.
I am.
Yes.
I am, yeah.
But you grew up in Hamburg. I don't know, listeners, you know, growing up in Hamburg, you know, it was probably back when you were a kid, and we're talking probably, you know, 60 years ago maybe, you know, I don't know. What was it like in Hamburg 60 years ago as a kid?
Well,
they had a school there, right?
Yeah, they had a school. It was a small school. We had... sixth grades and two teachers. One teacher had first, second, and third. The other teacher had the other three grades in there. And so we had about 30 kids total. But everybody walked to the school.
Yeah.
There was in town, you know, we had a little store that had a restaurant and a lunch counter, had a gas station, you know, had a post office, you know, all that sort of thing. And there was, you know, before the floods kind of took all the houses away. You know, there was a lot more activity, but you know, it's you know, kind of continued to dwindle over the years. You
mm-hmm.
know, because Hamburg's kind of off the beaten path. You know, you gotta need to be going to Hamburg to go there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, Hamburg. You had a ferry there at one time.
Yeah, when I was growing up, there was a ferry that took you over to Ellsbury.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. You know, and then I think that had shut down probably by the time we got out of high school.
I see.
You know, which made it just a little more isolated, you know. But
we are going to celebrate our 50th class reunion this year.
Yeah.
Graduated in 1976. A heck of a good year to graduate.
Yeah. We were celebrating the 200th year of our country, and now we're looking at the 250th year.
Yeah. The 70s. 70s were some great times. Now, in the 70s, you got out of high school. What'd you do after high school?
You know, I didn't have a lot of direction. I just kind of worked some jobs. I worked at the gas station there in town in Hardin, and then I went out to Phoenix for a while. Worked a couple jobs out there. Came back, and then after a few years, I went to work out on the towboats. So I spent.
Were you working with Roger Wolfel? Did he get you on that?
He was working for a different company, and he
did he talk you into it? He say, this is where you got to go?
You know, my brother-in-law, Mike Sibley, is actually the one that he was out working on the boats, and he took me down to Mid-America Transportation was the company. He took me down to Fairview Heights to talk to the vice president, who was Jerry Tinke, who grew up in Hamburg.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you were in.
Right. So Jerry gave me a job, and I will – always be thankful for him for that because, like I said, I spent 5 years out there, but it was a lot of structure there. You know, you went out and got on that boat. You was on there for that period of time, 30 days. You worked 2 6-hour shifts a day and 7 days a week, and that's where you were. And you know, that structure was very good for me at that time. And that was a really good job for me to kind of.
So what was your job as a deckhand?
I started out as a deckhand. That's kind of where everybody starts. You know, I was a green deckhand. I worked on the deck for about a year, and then I went to the engine room as an oiler. You know, and that's kind of, you know, you work with, there's a chief engineer on there, and I would, I did a lot of cleaning. You know, that was, you know, you're always cleaning and mopping everything, you know, and you know, keeping things working, and, you know, if the wash machine goes out, you kind of like, that's part of the deal. You know, you kept all your systems running and things like that. So most of the time I spent as an oiler out there.
Well, one thing, I have actually been in a barge when the engine was running.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My dad was the electrician in town, and I remember going with him once. He had to go on a barge that was tied up next to the bank in Hardin and had something electrical to do. And I was like on the deck and peeked inside the engine room. Man, that thing was loud.
Yeah.
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 And big.
Yeah.
How big are those engines? I was trying to remember. Man, they seemed like they were long.
Well, depending on the size of the boat, you know, but the one I spent a lot of time on had was like 3,200 horsepower. Each engine was 1,600 each. And they had they called them EMDs. That was electromotive diesels. These are the same kind of engines that's in an engine in a train locomotive.
Yeah, that's what I wondered.
Yeah, and so we had some 567 EMDs, which had 567 cubic inches per cylinder.
But how big?
They
were like 10 foot wide or 8 foot wide or something, or six.
Well, the width of that towboat, the typical one you're going to see on the Illinois, you would have two of those engines with decks in between them. So, you know, yeah, they're 4 or 5 feet wide at least.
Okay.
You know, and they're kind of tall and narrow for that purpose. But they were set up where you could have like a 6-cylinder or 8 cylinders or 12. You know, they would add these blocks on to make longer. Long ones, and those big engines, they would, when they're really running, they're only going about 800 RPM.
So did you ever have any, when you were working on the towboat, did you ever have any times where you were in danger? Like, you never fell off the boat, did you?
I never fell off the boat. It happened while I was out there. And, you know, I was young and never thought about it back then. You know, I'd probably be a lot more cautious now than I was then.
But somebody fell off while you were working?
Yeah, they
did. They die? They drown?
Yes.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, one not on the boat that I was riding on at the time, but one guy fell off in the wintertime, and so hypothermia set in before another guy another time that they didn't find him for a couple months. You know, so So, yeah, there's
some danger there, working on a
yes,
boat.
Yes,
yes. Even if you had a life jacket on.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, when in the wintertime, decks are slick. You know, yes. You got spray coming up over the front of the bow, and you're out there. And, yeah. So I was very fortunate. It was but yeah, there were some hazards out there for sure.
Hey, if you're just joining us, I have the Gary Wilson from Hamburg, Illinois. He's actually into theater now. He worked on the towboats, but after the towboats, you worked a few years. You made it through alive, and then you got into being. You went back to school,
right? Yeah.
To be an electrician.
Yeah, yeah. I, you know, that structure on the boat was really good. And I'm like, okay, what do I really want to do here? And, you know, some people that I knew had gone to Rankin, you know, been successful and working the
gone
trades.
Gone drinking or gone Rankin?
Right. Well, there's some of that. Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, I went back to school and went to day school at Rankin and got out and got a job as an electrician, and I ended up going back to night school for control systems and instrumentation, and so that's what I did my career.
You turned pretty studious, you know.
I did. Yeah. You know, it was.
You had kids to support.
I didn't have kids at that time.
Oh, you didn't.
You know, it was. It was right after that that you know. Well, actually, I was still in school when I got married, and then a few years later. Had kids. I was actually in my 30s when I started having my kids, and so.
Towboats from 80 to 85,
mm-hmm.
and then back to school, and then
a couple years,
and then landed a job. Where at?
Well, I first worked at Monsanto as a contract electrician over in Chesterfield, and worked there, and then the late 80s, things were, you know, kind of – the job market wasn't all that great, you know, and I worked a couple different places. You know, I went to work for a place called James River. I worked at McDonnell Douglas, you know, got laid off there. You know, that was back when McDonnell Douglas had like 40,000 people in St. Louis, you know. I got in that layoff. I went back to Rankin and actually taught day school for like 1 year. And then I went to Amoco before they closed Amoco down in Wood River when it was chemical.
Yeah.
And that's when I went back to night school to get into instrumentation and process control.
What's that job like? Systems, control systems.
Well, you know.
You just sit and watch it.
Actually,
you
know, the operators are watching the processes. You know, what we're doing is we're going out in the field. You know, you've got some kind of transmitter in the field that is sending the signal in to the house. You know, and then you might have a flow transmitter is measuring the flow, comes back in, gets processed, and then. There's another signal that goes out to a valve to move that valve where you're going to keep, you know, you're going to maintain a flow, or maybe you've got a steam that you're going to maintain a temperature and that sort of thing. So you're controlling that process, you know, and that's advanced tremendously over the last 30 years too, you know, where a lot of the old stuff was pneumatic, you know, and you'd have to work on that equipment. And, you know, a lot of stuff is electronic. It's all computer control. They got advanced safety systems. You know, mm-hmm. especially in the petrochemical, you know, as you always say, we're not making chocolate. You know, you have to really, safety is so crucial of keeping everything under control. So,
you retired out of that business.
Yeah.
What, how many years ago?
About a year and a half ago, I retired.
So you're a fresh retiree.
Yeah, yeah. I'm adapting fairly well.
Okay.
Yeah, so. I spent 23 years at the Woodrow Refinery. It used to be Shell, but it had already changed to Tosco, and then it was Phillips 66, ConocoPhillips, back to Phillips 66. We changed a few names, but now we the Woodrow Refinery, same refinery.
Yeah, if I could do it over, I think I'd retire like in my early 30s. If I could do it. Yeah.
Retirement doesn't have anything to do with age. It has everything to do with money. Yeah, so, true. You know, if you can do it, good for you.
Yeah. Okay. So now you're, you know, a theater guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah. And actually, I've been a theater guy for a little while.
You always had the looks for a theater guy.
Oh, I don't know sure about that. I'm not sure about that. But yeah, it was kind of thing, you know, going to Calhoun High School, you know, I played in band. I was in chorus, that sort of thing. I played a little sports, you know, ran track. But I wasn't, you know, that wasn't really where my I enjoyed more creative things and music and that sort of thing. But, you know, you get out, you get a career, you get a family, that sort of thing. I wasn't really I thought anything to do with that sort of thing, it was already past me, you know,
right.
that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then my youngest daughter, you know, she was just when she started walking and talking, she was singing and dancing. She was just kind of like. So we gave her, you know, opportunities like we always try to, you know, whatever our kids' interests are.
Yeah,
you know,
we go full bore.
Yeah, we do. And and you know, and I can remember Mariah's first dance recital. We're at. You know, they put the little kids up front, you know, and first, you know, and then during intermission they sent them out with the parents, and she had done her little dance routines there at Hathaway Hall, and she's sitting on my lap there watching the other girls dance. She says, "Daddy, that was so fun. I wish I was still up there right now." She was like, she had so much confidence, but you know, so she was singing and dancing, and then when she was about 7 or 8 years old, about seven. There was a fundraiser at Alton Little Theater. They called Broadway and Chocolate, where they did this review type of thing. And my cousin mentioned something about it that maybe Mariah could do this. So we kind of checked into it, and also, you know, said, well, why don't you do that? You know, you can sing. You know, I sang at church and that sort of thing. So I ended up doing that. That little review, I was scared to death.
You were.
I mean, yeah, but anyway, we did this this duet, Ann and I, and the following spring, the director for that was with Curtains Up Third Theater Company directing Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Okay,
and she was looking for cast members, and so she contacted us. You know, and I'm like, boy, that'd be fun. You know, I played that music in high school of Joseph. That'd be super fun. So my daughter Mariah, she was one of the children in that, and I was Reuben, the oldest brother, and my very first experience with like musical theater, Curtains Up is a small community theater company that they don't have their own venue, so we would rent Hathaway Hall, Dunham Hall at SIU, and there was a whole lot of theater majors at SIU that was in that production, and all these young kids just, you know, took me under their wing and showing me stuff.
You loved it.
It was just a ball. And I'm like, you know, I thought I'd never have an opportunity to even do anything like this.
Yeah.
And of course, it's also something I got to do with Mariah because she was in the production, and that's been probably almost 20 years ago. And I've done multiple productions with Curtains Up, and I've done things at Alton Hill Theater and. And, you know, and it's just been a ball. Yeah.
Have you ever thought about going to Hollywood?
No.
Okay.
I still live in reality.
Well, I don't know.
But it's super fun. And you get to spend some time with really talented people and good people. And so it's been great.
Very enjoyable
time. Yeah.
You. What's your message to somebody that's maybe listening to this or interview? And they go, you know, I wouldn't mind trying that. I think I got talent. What do you think? What do you tell them?
There's community theaters around that would welcome you in.
They would.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially, you know, if there's a larger cast and they have an ensemble, you know, or.
You just get your foot in the door somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, and work your way up like you did.
Right. And you know, there's some people that you need people backstage, you know, to work on sets. There's all kinds of things even behind the scenes. You know, there's a whole team of people that it takes to put that on. So there's a lot of opportunity for people that just want to, you know, we've got people that never want to be on stage. But they're always there to help build sets, to paint, to.
How fun is this, being in theater?
Oh, it's just a great time. You just make all these new friends every time, and you know, and many of these people are not really shy people. They're really, you know, you know, fun and, yeah. And just great singers and talent and you know, and it's just super fun.
Hey, so tell us about Annie. You play FDR.
Yeah.
Roosevelt.
Right.
In this play Annie, and most people know the story of Annie.
Yeah.
But give us the lowdown on this play that you're going to be in.
Right. Well, a lot of people are familiar with Annie, and actually this is my second time doing Annie because probably it was like 2009 that I was in a production at Alton Hill Theater, but I was younger then, so I played Rooster Hannigan. Okay. I've aged out of that.
Okay.
And actually my daughter, who's about to turn 28 next month, she was one of the orphans in that production. So we continue to do that. Anyway, Kearns Up Theater Company is doing Annie at that we will perform at the Roxanne Arena, the Nazarene church there in Roxanne. I bought the Roxanne Cine. I think they call it the Nazarene Theater or the Roxanne. I'm not sure. Uh-huh. It's right there on 111. We have a great cast. Really talented. The guy who's playing Warbucks is Steve Scheninger, who is he's a musical family. He does a lot of stuff. He actually has like his own band. The Shin Sings Orchestra or something. He performs around, and that sort of thing. Debbie Manicky plays Grace. People might know her. She did almost always Patsy Cline, a few years back. Beautiful voice, really, really talented. We got a young girl, Isla Stelmach, who's playing Annie. Just adorable.
Uh-oh.
And there's just so many of that. But yeah, Annie is it's kind of this classic tale. It's rags to riches for Annie. They've got some villains in there.
Uh-huh.
And you got Warbucks, who is kind of rough on the outside. That Annie melts him.
Uh-huh.
And it's a feel good story, and Annie takes place during kind of the Depression, which is the reason FDR is part of that.
Yeah. And it's July 24th through the 26th.
Yeah.
And then again, it goes from July 31st to August 2nd.
Yeah.
Two weekends in a row.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
How do people find out about get tickets and all that good stuff?
Curtains Up Theater Company has a website.
Okay.
It's
Curtains Up.
CurtainsUpTheater.com or CUTC. Annie.com you'll take you right to the ticket page. So
okay.
You can get all the information there. And you can get, if anybody's interested in theater, that's where they'll, on curtainsupthéâtre.com, that's where they'll post auditions and if you got upcoming shows or any of that sort of thing.
Well, so, it sounds like a fun, it sounds like you're having a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, it. Yeah. 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 It's always, and being retired, I got the time to work on my lines and
yeah,
not with the other stresses.
And you're singing some songs too, right? Do you do some singing in this?
Yeah, in many times, in a show like this, people will have multiple roles.
Uh-huh.
So besides being FDR in the second act, the first act I'm in some ensemble stuff. So we're doing in the chorus, with these type of songs.
Yeah.
But if you're familiar with Annie, Roosevelt kind of sings, but he kind of speaks all of his roles as well. So, but yeah.
Well, Gary, it's been fun having you in studio, but we've run out of time.
Okay. All right.
The curtain's closing.
The curtain's closing, as it does.
So thanks so much for coming in. It's been a pleasure.
Really appreciate it. It's been fun.
Thanks for the tickets.
Yeah. Hopefully we can get some folks from up here to come on down and see us. Like I say, we got a great relationship with the theater there in Roxanna and to do things there. And
sounds like
they
fun.
Got a great, the popcorn and hot dogs out front like the old school. And it's a great venue.
Well, you take care.
Thank you. Appreciate you, Chris.